We can never finish counting all our blessings from you. If we can ever sit down and count our blessings one by one, oh Father, Lord, it will take a long, long, very long time.
Amen.
Perhaps your time that perhaps, Lord, we see you face to face and we're still counting the blessing. What a joy. What fellowship that we have with you and with one another, Lord, in the body of Christ. And now, Lord, this day we come before you, Lord, and again approach thy word. The things that we have been taught, the things that we have known all these years, Father, we still, O Lord, are amazed, Father, by your plan and the purpose that you have set forth, O Lord, even before the foundation of the world. And the Lord, the hidden mysteries, O Father, that you unfold to your people, that we may see your handiwork, that we may see your grace and your mercy, and the purpose, O Father, that why you wanted to have a people for your own namesake. And now, the Father, we have seen these things, O Lord, we rejoice, and yet, Father, we still wanted to remember these things, O Lord, that we might be strengthened in this journey. We do not know how long, Father, before you have your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, come back to claim his bride, his wife. Oh Lord, here we need to be matured and be strengthened, oh Father, and to be made ready. So we want to be standing on solid rock and on holy ground in this day that we live in, Father. So help us then, Lord, to digest your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I do not know how long I will take to start on this series that we already have been on. I think this probably will be my third time that I dealt with this subject. Back then in the 80s, I taught it, and then in the 90s. And each time when I brought it in, there are a lot of things that unfold before our eyes and better understanding about this subject of the trail of the serpent. Now, to begin to understand the trail of the serpent, we need to understand the doctrine about the serpent seed. But before we can talk about the serpent seed, we need to talk about the serpent. Right? Because it is this creature that was the cause of the fall. And we want to know the purpose of why this thing must be. You know, there has been a lot of questions asked. Why must God have, you know, allowed the serpent to be in the garden? Why did he create such a creature? You know? And of course, for those of us who already know the original sin of serpent sin, when we ask this sort of question, some of them. But in the denomination, because they do not see the serpent seed, because they do not see how the original sin actually started, what brought about the fall, and of course they brush away the doctrine of the serpent seed. I came across a website recently, and I find it quite strange. Whose article, it's quite a good website, it seems, because of some of the subject we're looking through, they try to explain some of the thing. But when it comes to the original sin, he said no such thing as an original sin. You know. It is not because of Adam's fall that we all get into trouble. It is not, he was trying to say. You know. So we all choose to fall, do sin this because we know it. But there was no reason given why do we commit sin. We know that the Bible said, and that's only way because we understand what the Bible show us after the fall, that because of one man's sin, sin came upon everyone. Sure, people say, well, that's not fair because Adam did this, everyone got it. But everyone got it. It's evident because of our own action also. But there is something that is in us that causes us to behave like that. You see. So, we want to look into it so we have a proper understanding. And I want to say this, that if we are not a child of God, ordained in such a way that we are the people. I mean, in the family of God, as I said this, you look at the Holy City, New Jerusalem. It's a pyramid shape. Right? And the base is broader and bigger and larger than the top. Okay, and yet this Holy City, New Jerusalem, is all belongs to God. That is to say that there are someone that is chosen to be on a higher ground, to be able to see because God chose them, and because of their heart desire to want to know. And that's why they, like John on the Isle of Patmos, he was given the vision. He said to John, come on hither. So are we going to go up hither? That is, do we have the desire in the first place to be drawn closer to the Lord? To be drawn upward to the Lord. There are not, and you know and I know, there are many Christians. I'm sad to say that in America especially. You know, Brother David Cookman told me about, he came to know one of the Christians from a Baptist church, a lady, in a nursing home where he sings for those inmates there. And he got to talk to her about the message, and she wanted to come out of the system. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And she was an organist in the Baptist church. And of course, she had been playing the organ in the church for a very long time. So he told the pastor he wanted to resign from this and also resign from being a member of the Baptist church. And she had to fill up a resignation form. Now, you think about it, you know, because when you are a member of the denomination church, they will ask you to fill a form and you have your name in their book, or a membership book. So they keep their record there, your name, your address, so they could visit you or whatever it is, maybe. And if you don't pay tithes, they know because they give you an envelope. So your name is not on the envelope, that sort of thing. So now her name, she had to resign, so she had to fill in the form. So you see how organized the Baptist church really is. And they do not know a thing about what is being born again. And I believe that you know many times it is true that there are some songs that were written that a Christian in the church will go and shake the pastor's hand after the service and feel that she is born again or he is born again. Or maybe the pastor said, you are alright, you are saved. When a person don't even know whether they are saved or not. There's no way I cannot tell you whether you are saved or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because the weakness is the Holy Spirit. The weakness is the Holy Spirit in your spirit. I cannot know whether you are born again. I only know that yes, you live a good life, you live a Christian life, you live a righteous life. Like Job. He was a righteous man as true even, but yet he doesn't really know God really as well as he ought to be. How many Christians in the world said that they really know God? You see. Brother Shemek said last Sunday, he was telling the people, when he was preaching, do you know the Prime Minister? Yeah, we all know. Does he know you? No. How many of you know the Pope? Yeah, they all know the Pope. Does the Pope know you? No. You understand? Yes, we know Jesus. Jesus knows us. But the question is, how much of the knowledge between your relationship between Jesus and you?
After all, why we are the foolish virgins? The foolish virgins. They all came out, the old virgin came out from denomination, right? They left. They were virgins. But yet, five of them never have that relationship. So what do you think about the tenth? How far off they are in that spirit? Are they Christian? They are in denomination. With that ten spirits around them, they are feeding on all those junk. So what relationship do they have with the Lord? How close they are? Look at the brand of mine. How close they are with the Lord Jesus? Oh yeah, I'm very close to the Lord Jesus, but again. Because the prophet said this, and the prophet said that. And I did what the prophet said this, the prophet said that. Well, if you know the Lord Jesus, you don't talk about the prophet. Why you keep on talking about the prophet? See? You all need to know. We need to know the Lord Jesus, because the prophet points us to the Lord Jesus. And that's what it's all about in the Bible. So when we want to talk about any subject of the Bible, we need to know what the Bible says. So before we go into this fear of the serpent, we need to know about the form. So let us go to the book of Genesis. I will not hurry. So I want just on the spot of what's important to get to every one of us. We all know about the serpent. Yes, everybody knows about the serpent. And I want to fix certain thing again to recall to your mind, your memory. You see. And I hope that you all have your Bible with you. When I say Bible, I don't mean electronic Bible. And that's why electronic Bible is actually doesn't serve you any good. Because you cannot write notes on it, you don't write anything in it. If you have a Bible, you scribble on it, you write in it. Whatever point is that. So you can have a memory recorded in your mind. The electronic Bible is just only for reading. And that's what Brother John said just now is true. Everything that is in this world today, the technology, has become a curse. Because we don't want to open the Bible. You know why it's called the sacred scripture? You know why it's called scripture? Because it's a script down. It's not digitized. It's not the holy digitized. No, it's holy scripture. That's why it's written. That we may read it and flip the page. Okay. So we go to the book of Genesis now. We all know the creation of the world and the whole universe and the heavens and the earth, brother. And we know that after God had create all the universe or the heavens, and then he created the earth, he had to fill this earth with plants and animals and whatever he intended. And we read in the Bible that God brought forth everything in pairs. Alright, you must remember that all the creatures were created in pairs. They were all male, female. Alright. So that is one of the mysteries that we need to understand why. Because it's all hidden there. That why God created a man and a woman? Why did God create a male sheep and a female sheep? Why is everything in this form? Male and female. What was the intention of God? What was God trying to tell us? Yes, sir. Of course, the whole thing about God's creation, it is all for His own glory. But mysteries are hidden there only for people like us. The wise and the prudent in the Word of God, and those babe as such that will, you know, yearn for the food. Yes, sir. So, when we look to the Bible, let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 2 now. Or we go to chapter 1, and let's go into one particular area in the last part of chapter 1. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And verse 27 said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now here we have the creation of man. And you know one thing? This mystery here about the creation of God, denomination will not be able to understand. That God created man in two phases. Right? When it comes to creation of man, if you look before in chapter 1, all the creation of the animals, they were direct creation from the dust of the earth. Right? But when it comes to man, he said, let us come in your own image and after our likeness. And this is what I have emphasized. When I left the denomination, I saw these things in the serpent seed, and I detailed it. Yet people who are involved in end-time message, even preacher, could not even see it. And many of them, some of them argue with me. And I have to detail them a little further for them to see. And they have to keep quiet and learn. The Bible is clear. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. There are two different worlds. One is the spiritual side and the other one is the physical side. And that's why you and I, who are born again, we have the spiritual man and the natural man. The people that are out there, they are not born again. They are only in the physical, freshly, carnal. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You see? God did not create Adam to be a religious man. He created Adam a spirit. In the same image as God is a spirit. And I already detailed this, that there was no, that Adam when he was created a spirit is not a man or a woman. He was both male and female. And male and female is the attributes. It's the nature of what he was. You know, in being a spirit. So God is male and female. Oh, blasphemy, Brother Gam. Some people are telling they're blasphemy. You know. You telling me that God is a male? Are you telling me that God is a male? Because when you talk being a male, what is it, a male? Male is just only the nature, the attributes. You understand? Have you ever seen, of course you all probably have seen, and a transvestite or a hermaphrodite? Right? Well, he's muscular and all that, and he walk and talk like a... Now, that something is wrong. Is he a he or the she? Is he the female or the male? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? He looks very big and he got boobs. Okay, for breast. That something is wrong somewhere. What has gone wrong? It's a spirit. The nature, the thing that is in him that behave like that. God is male or female because God considered, you know, when as far as fatherhood is concerned, it's always called as he. But God loves flowers. He loves the gentleness of things. He created the beautiful things, which we know women likes it. And because there is the part that is in us, male, that we also attract the flower. You agree with that? But not as much as women do. You know, women like the little beautiful thing, huh? But men usually don't care much about it. Men want to go for what? Hot rods. Broom, 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 you know? All the wild things. Now, female are gentle. So that is just the very nature that is in God. The balance, as the Chinese would say, the yin and the yang. Right? Because that's what God is. That's what the whole universe is in such a state. God, that's the very attributes of God. To keep things in balance. So, and Adam was created with just a spirit. But you know, it's only after the creation day was over that God rested, that he decided to put Adam into a body of dust. Right? And being that he is bringing forth the attribute, so he make Adam a body of dust that is a man. That's why he's called in the first place Adam. Right? And God always addressed that as a he. And that's what Adam was, he. But the feminine spirit was still inside Adam. Now, you find out, why is it that way? Why can't God just create Adam from the dust of the ground? Adam, come forth. Eve, come forth. You know, like male sheep and female, and you know, and male horse and female horse and things like that. Why not just create them directly? Then we will not have a problem. Then sins will not be able to come in. Do you realize that? If God were to create Adam and Eve directly from the dust of the ground, there will not be sin into this world. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? Because the original cannot be deceived. Cannot be deceived by anyone to bring in a condemnation of fornication, of spiritual fornication. Whatever you want to say is that means the black and white mixed together. You can't. Unless Adam himself deceived himself. Unless Eve deceived herself. You see. That's why the animals do not sin. Because they can't. They're original. You see. Unless they want to, like Adam want to deceive himself, then it's a different thing altogether. You understand that? So, when we look at the Bible now, in chapter 2, here we have then, of course, the creation of man. And then God created a woman. Now, interestingly now, the creation of the woman that is this recorded is in chapter 2 and verse 18 onwards. But yet, before that, God recorded about the Garden of Eden. Right? In the first few verses. Now, why is it important for God to put it that way? That means we already that God, this fact of chapter 2 tells us that the woman was not around. Right? When God created Adam, and you can see verse chapter 2, and it says right here in chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, there was no description of Eve being created. Because the next verse says, and the Lord planted the garden. So now he tells me that there was only the man. Eve was not around. You got it?
Yes.
And even when God spoke to a man in chapter 1 and verse 28, chapter 1 verse 28, it says, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. To a lot of people, the word there means Eve was there. Now, being that they are spirit, that's why I always God emphasized, let us create man. The word us, it's a synatoke word. Where I can, like for example, I can say, okay, after the service is over, let us go down to such and such a hawker center and eat. I could say, let us. But maybe none of you follow me. You know, it does an expression, let us. And in fact, there have been a lot of discussion over this. And sometimes it's very hard to tell people about the word us. What does it mean? And to the Trinitarian, when God said, let us, he's talking to the other two persons in the Godhead. You understand what I'm saying? So I asked them, who is speaking then? Was it the Father that says, let us, telling the Son and the Holy Spirit? Of course, there's no answer. Now, the only way that we can simply express this to make sense without going to too deep mysteries is to say that the Lord speaks to the angels. But deeper than that, who was involved? Who was God speaking to? He was speaking to the Logos. Because the Logos already came forth. Remember? It was Logos the Creator, remember? You understand? Yes. So there was this Father and Son. All that God Himself being a Spirit and the Word that He already brought forth. And He gave to speak to each other and said, let us. In what one sense? So this has been a lot of discussion, you know, a debate. So, but let us not get carried away. Alright? You can say yes, the Lord, but some those who are not Trinitarian say that they believe that there are two personages. And that is Father and Son only. And the Father said to the Son, let us create. You know. We know that there is that Logos there. But we do not want to go to such a place where people get all confused and figure that out. Because if you look at the book of Job, the book of Psalms, where you talk about wisdom was before me. Wisdom in the Bible always referred to none other than the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said to the Word, let us. Yes. But simplicity is to say, God speak to the angel, because the angel was there. The Word was there. The Spirit of Almighty God was there. Right? You see. So if I were to ask another question, what the Bible said, let there be light. Who said that? Was it the Spirit of God or was it the Logos that spoke? I mean, we're being so technical. You know what I mean? Because we already know that the Word and the Spirit are one. So if we want to be technical, then we get ourselves into what? Debating is who is right, who is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The Father and the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say? He said, the work that I do, it's not me that do it, it's the Father that did it. He draws me, He does the work, right? Yes. Even the word that I speak, Jesus said, it's not my word, it's the word of the Lord, the word of the Father. So you know, so you come to this technicality and argue which one is speaking, now we have a problem. You see. But yet, when we come to the place when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was praying, now who was He praying to? Some say He was praying to Himself. And they are making the doctrine of Jesus only. Huh? So who was He praying to? He was praying to the Father. So what was He praying to? The Father. If He was God, praying to God, that don't make sense. That's why the revelation comes in that Jesus Christ was a man. In every way He was a man. The passion that He had gone through. So when He only got out, He had to cry out, Father, Father. He was praying to God, but He was the Son of God. You see. So people don't distinguish the nature that was there. The manifestation. That's why it's so beautiful to understand that God's very heart came out from Him in the form of a Son. You see. That's why the relationship between Father and Son is so important. Even as earthly Father and Son. Manifestation is there. You see. And all that which is in the Bible are so beautifully, you know, recorded for us and the plan of God unfolded for us, we should be able to see the whole, you know, His plan and the purpose. See. So when we look into chapter 2, we realize then that when after God made a body for Adam, He breathed into the nostril of Adam, the body of Adam, and he became a living soul. Now we have that living soul. Before there was not a living soul. It was just a spirit. Alright. And I said this, Bob, I'm detailed. I mean, the way he defined it, and I like it. Huh? So, what is a soul? He said the soul is the manifestation of the spirit. The soul is the manifestation of the spirit. Because if you are a horse, you cannot manifest a bow wow or a meow. That's not a horse. Huh? A horse will manifest as a horse in neighing and galloping. That's the spirit of the horse. If the spirit of a dog, you know how faithful a dog is to the master. And I don't know whether you know about Hachiko. You know, if those who love in Japan should know about Hachiko. If you don't know about Hachiko, that means you don't know you love Japanese dog. Hachiko is a dog. Remember the dog.
Yeah.
Master died and he went up to the train station waiting for the master to come home, not realizing the master had died. A faithful dog. And even wartime soldier who trained dogs to, I don't know, for whatever purpose on the mine or searching for something, when the soldier died, the dog would stay by the soldier. The relationship, that's the nature of the, you know, a dog, you see. That the soul of a dog, its behavior, its nature of the spirit that God had make it. You see. So we see that here, and then next verse 8 onwards is all about the Garden of Eden. So until that, the world did not exist yet. So if you ask me how long that is, I don't know. Only God just gave us this knowledge. So now when we look into the garden here again in verse 8, that this garden was planted eastward in Eden, that he put the man whom he had formed. And all the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is present to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this is the one verse 9, and that contains the answer. Alright, as to what kind of trees are those two trees? Tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. But I think the problem is that being that we are reading English, whatever translation we have, whatever, if you are reading Chinese translation or Tamil translation, whatever other translation, the meaning is lost. We will not see clearly, because that's why in theology, in this, you know, in what you call interpreting the Bible, they follow the language that they know. You know. So when you look into this verse, in any way, there's no comma, there's no colon, there's no full stop in the original. But in the Bible, they put a colon there after the word good for food. And yet, the semicolon, I'd rather say, semicolon that is put there, actually is correct. Alright? Okay, right now, let's look at it. God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So there was the garden east of Eden, and not all of the earth was Eden. So there is the earth, the whole earth, filled with green trees, plants and everything. But there is a place called Eden, and then there is a place called the Garden of Eden. So there are three. The Bible doesn't want to tell about what over on the other side of the world, of this earth. Now, the Bible starts with this particular place that God was so interested in. And it's called the Garden of Eden. Not even Eden. Right? And then they must give us a clue as to know, wow, this place, the Garden of Eden, must be very special to God. And so where on earth is the Garden of Eden? Nobody had know the answer. But God showed it to me, and I already told it to you, that the Garden of Eden was the place where we call today Canaan land. Yeah? If you have read the book that I wrote when I preached on the Holy City, New Jerusalem, it's when I was preaching on the Holy City, New Jerusalem, and God opened my eyes before I preached that. So before I can preach on it, God was literally speaking to me when I was studying. He said, you need to know where that garden is. Because when you know the garden, you know why the Holy City is called the Holy City of Jerusalem. Is it the Holy City, New Jerusalem? And why is it called New Jerusalem? Why is it Jerusalem? Why is it not Tel Aviv? Ramallah? You know what I mean? Someplace out. You understand? What is it not Babylon? After all, they said that the Garden of Eden was out there, huh? In Mesopotamia, Babylon area. You see? So the Bible actually gives us a clue already. And that's why when God showed it to me, I said, now I understand why this land is so, the land of Canaan is so unique, it's so tied to God. Huh? Why God said, this is my land, my holy land. I give it to my people Israel. And he told them, don't you
cut down all this land. But you know what happened, right? The one piece, they keep on cutting the land until the land becomes so small. And that's the land where Jesus comes. When he comes, he will rule from there. And that's the land where Christ was crucified. That's the land where Abraham was sacrificing his son Isaac. Wow. You don't understand? You talk about the Bible being a... You know, it's a, just a record book and all things. Doesn't make sense. Hey, I tell you one, there's a whole lot of treasure in this. Mystery unfolding. Why we are here. Why there's trouble out there in the Middle East. And the Bible even tells us the King of the East is being prepared. Look what happened right now. All the problem is in the Middle East shift over to America during the Trump election and all this thing. And after he was elected, now the problem, the world, the distress is pushed over to this part of the world. North Korea, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, China, Philippines. What the problem is all now creating all that problem. What's the devil doing now? You see? And we are another nation here. So what do you think we are doing? Sitting around? There's a lot of population, security tightened here a little bit and here a little there, huh? You know. And so no country want to be involved in any problem. Even just the case of Kim Jong-nam. It didn't happen in Singapore, I'm glad. Because there's a whole lot of nonsense that is going on. People are all crazy up there. You know. What does it tell us? That the world is getting more evil, getting more wicked. You see. The Bible says, when sins abound in the world, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in the life of His people. And don't make the grace of God a disgrace. That's for sure. Because time is going to soon be no more. Right? So, when we look into this, now we understand. There was in this Garden of Eden, that God, Bible said, that God caused every tree, alright? It says, verse 9, and out of the ground make the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, not only just in the Garden of Eden, right? Obviously, in Eden also, tree also sprouting. In other parts of the earth, the tree are also sprouting. But the Bible is only want to talk about this particular place, because this is the place where God put the man. You see. Now, everybody who read this Bible, this verse will know that out of the ground. When you talk about the ground, you're talking about the ground. You're not talking about anywhere else. The ground. The ground out of the Garden of Eden, God caused to grow every tree. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight. We look at it and say, oh, this is good for food. And it's pleasant to the sight, good for food. Every tree that is grown out of the ground that is good for food must be grown for food. If you are living in a village, you know, in the, well, maybe in the village there are 1,000 people or something, and never, nobody ever seen mango tree. Huh? Suddenly, you know, after some time there was a mango tree that grew up, you know. And you know what a mango tree is. You know what a mango is. And because you are a greedy pig, a glutton, you know at the tree. But don't you know that people never see mangoes around here. You better tell them, this one is poisonous. Don't touch it. So every night you go and take it. You know. You understand? But when it's good for food, it must be good for food. But if you tell them it's poisonous, when people found it, hey, this food smells good. It cannot be poisonous. They were to eat it and try it and see the bird eating it. They know that it's good for food. Huh? So, everything. But then you see in the next verse, the next line. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, here is this phrase that throw everybody out of kingdom. Here.
And I think that these two trees are actually the natural trees and growing out from the garden as well. And yet it's a very strange name given. Do you know how many tree of lives are there in the world today? How many tree of lives are there in the world? How many tree of life do you know there are in the world? Only one. Brother John said only one. I mean, I'm talking about a literal one. How many literal tree of life did you know exist in the world today? In practically every country, almost every country except the modern civilized one, but if you go to the ancient time, like in Africa, Fiji, India, maybe Malaysia, Indonesia, I think also Philippines, also they might have it. They have their own tree of life. Do you know one of the greatest tree of life that exists in the world today? It is the coconut tree. Yes? The coconut tree. Everything about a coconut tree can be used. Huh? They call it the tree of life. In other country, maybe like Africa, there is the moringa tree. It's a herb, it's a good. The leaves, flower, whatever, they use it. They call it a tree of life because everything is useful for food. Of course, that's kind of odd to call it a tree of life. I mean, that's just what the local people traditionally will call it. But now you have a tree that is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That one I don't understand. If you tell me this is a tree of life, I understand. If you say that this tree is a tree of knowledge of good, I say, in what way? By eating it, it gives me what? Knowledge? And that is bad and good? Does it make any sense? Because the term that the word that God used will tell you that it is not real tree. Two things. One, every tree that grows from the ground can be eaten. Right? If it's good for what it can be eaten. But here you are saying that two trees came up from the ground, and one is called the tree of life, the other one, tree of life, maybe I can accept. If you call it, oh, coconut. You still call it coconut tree, you call it tree of life. Oh, I understand. But if you call it a tree, tree of knowledge, good and evil, in what way? I have never heard of a literal tree in the world that is called the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Have you? No. If anybody tell me that there is a tree of knowledge and good and evil, then you can give me an answer. I remember there was one place down in the Tangling Road. You know, there was a tree there by the side of the intersection. The way, because the way the intersection was made, there was one little bit of a plot of land right in the center there. And it was actually growing, it's actually a bougainvillea. Only one bougainvillea bush there. And yet it sprouted red colored, and the other one, the other side, white. But now when I trace it, they all come from the same stem. And so this is kind of odd. How did they mix up in such a way that maybe there are two, but it looks like only one, because no matter how I trace it, it comes to one only. It looks like, knowledge of good and evil. You know what I mean? You see? But when you talk about something that has two sides, then you need to understand. If it's a real tree, when I eat the fruit, what does it mean that I have knowledge of good and evil? In what sense? And this is the mystery that God hid it from the wise and the prudent. And that's why we have the understanding later on of the serpent seed doctrine. You see? Now, the thing is this, is that the people do not believe in this is because the tradition has sort of clouded their mind, and they just follow, and it's very hard for them to accept. Even intellectual people, I mean those people who have been Christian for many years, you know, denomination, you share with them, they just don't want to accept it. And they will argue the way that it is not true. But they cannot explain, they cannot answer the question when I ask them. They cannot provide an answer. Why they believe what they believe, that it was not literal tree. You see. And we already have been through this knowledge of discussion about these things, about the fruit. What is the fruit?
What is a fruit? The word fruit, you know, to us many people is just something from a tree. Like an apple, like an orange. But the word fruit means also many other things. My son is the fruit of my womb, or my wife's womb, right? You see? The fruit of your work. It means the result of it. So, sometimes people just do the word fruit and that's what it is. A tree means a tree. But yet the tree symbolizes in the Bible many ways. What was it that the man whom Christ was trying to heal his eyes, open his eyes? Huh? The first time he put that spittle and so on him and asked him, you know, washing, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see men like tree walking. Huh? Because now you can see shadow. So he described man as like tree. And also, tree can be a shrine. The tree also the human body. And what did King Solomon say in his book, Song of Solomon? I'm coming to my garden. I'm come to taste of my fruit. They were talking about love making. So all these terms we need to understand because they are figure of speech. And figure of speech can come in many ways. Simile, ellipses, hyperbole, especially hyperbole, I like it. Is that as much of an exaggeration? You know, like all of Singapore went over to the Botanic Garden. Like all, you know, as if they're all. All the people came to hear Jesus Christ in the temple. I say everyone came. You see. So, figure of speech, we must understand the word of God intended because it is the expression of the Holy Spirit. It is not the expression of man. Alright. So now, we're not going to describe any other thing about the four heads, the river, where it came up from. But it just actually tells us one thing interesting. He said there's a river that came out of Eden and it spreads in the forehead. Huh? It talks about the direction of flow going eastward, and that's why it's so important we know that the gospel went out eastward and must come back again to east. Now, once you make a round trip, it comes back east again. You see, that's why the gospel is going back to Israel. Alright. And let's go right down to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now here again the Bible repeats itself here. Every tree. Is there any exception? No. Because every tree that grows up from the garden is good for food, can be eaten. Alright. But now he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Nothing is mentioned about the tree of life. Right? Isn't it true? Nothing is mentioned here about the tree of life. It's only about the tree of knowledge and good. So if it mentioned that you cannot touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then what is the tree of life? If I can eat from the tree of life, what is so special about mentioning these two trees? After all, if the tree of life can be eaten, it should not be excluded, we'll say, from all the other trees that grow up from the garden, right? God myself said, on the ground God grow every tree. It's good for food. But in the midst of the garden, there is a tree of knowledge and good and evil. Thou shalt not eat it. Just mention the one tree. That means so the tree of life can be eaten. And if the life of the tree of life can be eaten, what then is the tree of knowledge and good and evil? In comparison to that tree of life. There must be something together. There must be, you know, a comparison, you know, together. A reference. If it is life, that means knowledge of good and evil is there. It cannot be natural fruit. But, after all, you know, a lot of people do not able to reason with the Word of God. See? That's what the problem really is. Well, originally one of my friends, you know, said, At first he thought it was an apple. He thought it was a fruit. Later I said, no, no, it is obedient. Okay. If it was not a fruit, well, the denomination said it was a fruit. They don't know what fruit it was. Okay, and they always, you know, let it draw apple. A Jehovah's Witnesses draw a pen. And maybe a Singaporean draw a durian. I think. Okay, maybe for those in Hawaii will draw a passion fruit. Or the French, passion fruit. Something like that, I don't know. Well, let's just look at it, just how the way it should be. My friend decided to say, well, it's not a fruit. It's a disobedient. Okay, disobedient. If it is disobedient, what was it that Adam and Eve disobeyed? Oh, they took the fruit from the tree. Oh, now you're talking about fruit again. Come on now. When he said disobedient, in what way was they disobedient? Oh, they disobeyed the word of God. What did they do then? What did they do then? They ate the fruit. Yeah, but then you see, they ate the fruit. You're talking about the fruit of the tree now. You know how they reason, it comes to nothing. First is, oh, it's not, it's a fruit. No, it's not fruit, it's disobedient. But disobedient to what? To the command? In what way? In what way? You understand? You see? And then, well, the Bible said that you cannot eat of this tree of knowledge, good and evil, now neither shall you touch it. Did the Bible say that? No, the Bible didn't say it. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? Read again. Verse 17. But the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, nor shall you touch it. For in the day that you eat of it or touch it, you shall surely die. Don't misread the Bible. The Bible did not say that you cannot touch it. The Bible said you cannot eat of it. Eat of it means to consume it, to digest it. Huh? You see? It says that one thing about touching a fire and putting fire in your mouth. And you know what happens? You see, it's only let on only the eat when got questioned by the serpent. You know? Yeah, the word touch was used. There's a subtlety of play of word here. You see? So, if you're talking about eating, it means said that if Adam and Eve disobey a commandment, it has to do with eating. Obviously. But since you say it's not a fruit of a tree, then what on earth is it? If the other tree of life can be eaten, that means that this tree of knowledge of good cannot be eaten lest I die. That means there is something that has to do with life and death. A natural fruit does not produce that is good for food cannot produce life and death. The Bible said that it's present to the sight. That means I don't mind asking you to eat some poisonous fruit. Huh? You understand that? So, what then it is? Common sense will tell us that it has something to do with the Word of God. That you don't meddle with the Word of God. You understand that? You cannot mix the pure Word of God with something else. Something to do with Word. The Word of life or the Word of death. That's what you actually need. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not just the tree of knowledge of evil. It's good also. How can the knowledge that is good be evil? Right? How can... Do you know you can go out on the internet and search out... If you had somebody in the church and say, I want to get against the brother. You know, if you are upset with something, you want to kill somebody, make a bomb, you can go to the internet. And you can search out how to make a bomb. You all know that? Do you know that? How many of you know that? Oh, that means you have a certain agenda. Now, when you say
you can go for that knowledge, right? You can go for that knowledge. Well, you know that knowledge of making a bomb, yeah. This bomb, making a bomb, is it evil? You make a bomb, is it evil? Not necessarily, right? But of course, you may make a bomb, the security department here in Singapore found out, well, this guy is going on the internet so often and searching on and making a bomb. Then they will come to question, what do you want to make a bomb for? Ah, now you will have to answer the question. Huh? So, I want to make a bomb, I want to just to play with a bomb. That's funny. So, a bomb has a certain purpose. Of course, if you want to blast some huge size to get, in those days you want to mine something or cut away a passage through the rock. Because nowadays in Singapore they don't use bomb like this, they use excavator and knock and all of that. But in prison all the time they make dynamite and blow up the hillside. Alright. And you also can take the dynamite and make a bomb or dynamite, throw into the pond and blow the pond and stun all the fishes there, right? Easy fishing. Huh? Or you can use the bomb to kill somebody. So there is a good side and there is a bad side to it. And the knowledge of science. That's why in olden days, in the days when Roman Catholicism ruled the whole Europe, anybody who is trying to be a chemist is considered a what? A witch. Or a wizard. Because when he adds this and adds that, here comes smokes. And add this and add that, change color. Oh, he must be a witch. You see. But you study chemistry, you study all these minerals, whatever. There is a reason you are doing a research for, maybe to enhance the life of people. But also you can use it to kill. Look at this thing that was going on in killing Kim Jong-nam. What was that thing? What was that chemical that they used? You remember? It's nerve gas. No, it's, I can't remember. Varex or something, whatever you call it. Huh? Varex or something. I can't. It's very fast. Of course, it can do your nerve and you collapse and heart stop. So there were a lot of people using all this sort of thing. Now you can use anesthesia, to knock somebody out to do operation on him so that he won't feel the pain. But you can use that to kill somebody too. I can take a syringe, an empty syringe, and I can inject into you and you can die. Because I'm pumping air. Embolism will get into him and he goes to hand, you can die. It's just as simple as that. So things that are good here, talk about a tree that is knowledge. A knowledge is not a knowledge that is good, and yet this knowledge is also evil. That means to say that now he's talking about mixture. It's not just a knowledge of good. If it's a knowledge of good, then it must be not just a tree of knowledge of good, but it should be called the tree of life then. Because every good thing comes from God. And it gives lives. But ever flows from the Lord, from God, that is to us, that is beneficial to mankind. It's always good. But here was a warning, that's why it's called tree of knowledge, of good and yet evil. Good to look at, but it is evil. You understand? So now this was presented. Now in verse 18, this, the Bible then said that God said it's not good that man should be alone. Now he will tell us another part of the mystery. Because Adam being alone, there's no problem. If Adam is the only one was created, he will be all alone by himself, there's no problem. Correct?
Yes.
And if all the children come forth by spoken word, Adam just say,
Abel come out. Babel come out. Cycle come out. Donnie come out. Ephraim come out. You are all alphabets. What's your second name? No, it's no problem. Everyone will have eternal life. There's no problem. You see what I'm saying? But the thing right here is that when the Bible said it is not good for man to be alone. Now, he talked about creating a woman. And the Bible tells us that Eve was taken from his side. Not a direct creation. Oh, this is what a great mystery here. What a great mystery. People say, you know, say, no, no, nothing so special. You know why God created from the side of man and give him the wife? You know, so to be his mother, you know. Side by side, we are born of my born, first of my born is supposed to be that. That's it. Yeah? And so sometimes those Christian men, when they married a woman after 2 years, 3 years divorce, I found it's a wrong mate. Huh? I've not really found the soul mate yet. This one is the wrong rib. So let me find the one that is right. They married three, second time, third time, fourth time. What is that? Then they get divorced. So what, is that what the Bible said? No, it's just only a reference. Is that right? That it projects to the future that out from the side of Jesus Christ, God will throw him a bride. You see? Ha! Brother God, see! And the brother of Jesus Christ has many wives. What? I beg your pardon? How's what going on in Congo? I said Solomon has 1,000 wives. I know how many wives does Solomon really have? Huh? You know, how many wives and how many concubines? Why Solomon got a headache? I don't know how many headaches he gets every day. Having to, you know, satisfy all these wives and who say, oh, build me a shrine for this God, that God. And his heart was drawn away from Jehovah. You see. So we are just only the reference that here is something that give us an understanding. And I guess that most of us would not know until Brother Ben came along and said, the original cannot be deceived, but the byproduct can. You see how Brother Abraham, you know, God showed him a little part here and there, and he just bring it up. And so I said, the mystery of God, all the mysteries of God are not finished. Because God is still unfolding things to us to understand better. You see. So here we have the Eve was formed and provided and give it to Adam. And of course, it says in verse 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out from the man. So it was taken out from the man. It's not from the ground. Direct was from Adam. Now, there are questions they were asking me, but God, if was created from the sight of Adam, means it was not from the dust. That's kind of funny. I mean, that's how when people read the Bible, it's just as if that God actually have a great operation, you know, put Adam on a surgical table and call all the nursing angel to come and hand in the scalpel and open up the side and prick a rib and all. I mean, they think that it was a literal rib. Now what the Bible says, right? It took a rib in the flesh thereof with some flesh on it. Of course, when you pluck a rib, it's always a flesh. When you eat ribs, you're not eating ribs. So there was a flesh on it. So that's what they think, that it was literal. Oh, this was just an expression of the Holy Spirit. That in the future, there will be this Savior of ours whom God has to pierce his side. Huh? And drain the blood and water out. And the Bible even said that it was a rib. Right? Did the Bible say that the soldier pierced his side and then took a rib out? No. It's all about the side. So when the Bible talks about the rib, it's not really a talk about the rib, it's talking about the side. And because the Bible said one of the rib, everybody, yeah, it must be a rib. Expression are expressions. And let me tell you this. How many of us are here today? I don't know. Do you know that every one of us is a rib in the side of Christ? Yes. We are all a rib from the side of Christ. I can say that. Correct? Yes. If you are not a rib in the side of Christ, then you better don't be a thorn in his side. You know the expression? Yes, it's all expression. To make us to see a picture. So, what do we have? Now, it was called woman. Alright, don't play with the word woman. Because, you know, because it's English. Therefore the man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked. One flesh, interesting here. If you look at the thing in the first place when Adam was created, it was God gave him a body of dust, right? That was just only one flesh only. One flesh itself. And when God took out the rib from the side of Adam, he was taking out the female attribute. The female attribute side. It means that God wanted to separate the feminine from the masculine. Okay, that gave the feminine a certain chores, a certain work to do. Masculine do a certain work. Interestingly, God left some of the feminine in the man. And he took some of the masculine also and put it into the woman. Huh? Of course, this we know to be in chemistry, in the hormones of the human being. You see. You understand? You know? Unless there is a perversion, a man will be attracted to a woman attracted to a man, right? But if that is a perversion, something is wrong. And that's what sinners seek to destroy, the plan and the purpose of God's creation from the very beginning. When he entered into the garden and take the serpent together, the serpent of course was being used by Satan to undermine the plan and the purpose of God. Now all these are expressions that actually God took the feminine attribute, the spiritual attribute of it, and then put into a body of dust. You see. So it was not a direct creation that God did when he first created man in his own image, only just one. So now there is a separation to fulfill a purpose in God. That's where sin can come in, through a byproduct. Right, okay. Chapter 3 here we see now, it tells us about the four men. Now here we have to talk about the serpent. Of course, now we have to talk about the serpent. We talk about the tree, we talk about the creation. Because only in understanding the God's creation of man, then we'll be able to understand how sin can come in. But now God record and give us how sin came in. And that sin came in through the serpent. So we need to understand the serpent. So what is the serpent? Now the serpent was not a snake. Don't we always talk about using the word serpent. Because why? Because what serpent was, and when he was charged, his limbs were taken off, and he was made lower than all the beasts of the field. He was the number one beast of the field. Remember what the Bible said? Yes. Now God made him to be the lowest in one of the reptilian family. So everything we know, he has no more legs to crawl, to walk. No hands to pick up food to eat. So thus he will eat as God judged him. So he became part of the family of the snake. But yet everybody called the snake serpent. And it's a serpent. It's a serpent. Huh? Yeah. But though maybe it's not commonly used, everybody today when you see a snake, probably will call it a snake. Rather call it a serpent. But because the name serpent is tied to the snake, they think that, well, the serpent must be a snake. And I think you all know very well. A lot of pictures drawn about the serpent talking to Eve. Huh? A face of a man, hands and legs, and a tail. Sitting on a tree, and sometimes they draw him up the tree, you know, talking. Yeah. But they have forgotten that the Bible here You know, tradition has so much that entrap men. Just look at what the Bible said here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So now more subtle means what? The word subtle means it means cunning. But the word subtle is not just about cunning. Now, if you say that person is cunning, what kind of IQ would that man be if he's really cunning? Do? Huh? When you say the person is cunning, he's always very cunning. Maybe he's in the office, work in the office, okay? You'll be working there for 5 years and you know that this guy is very cunning. What kind of IQ do you think he has? Huh? Very high IQ, do you know? I work in a woman's hospital, a mental hospital. When I was there, there was this guy, well, he at that time was in his 30s. You know, he's a, well, this was diagnosed as a psycho. You know what a psycho is? Psychotic. And his IQ was so high. Man, he manipulated his soul. He's very cunning. He manipulated others, you know, patient. In a very subtle way. That's what we talk about cunning. It means he's smart. Huh? Knowledgeable. But people say subtle, oh, it means cunning. No. Not just like that. You know. Yes, the serpent is also cunning. I mean, the snake actually is cunning, some of them. But some of them are quite foolish. But the smart one, you know, when people come along, they know the noise, they didn't hear the footsteps. Too many of the people, they move away. When there are just one or two footsteps running by, they'll stay there in the path, they're not going to move. They want you to move. If you want to disturb them, you know what I mean? You see, the snake has their behavior. The same thing with lions. Right? Do you know that lion will attack elephant? And you know the elephant is so big, they're not afraid of the lions. Until too many comes, then they move away. The elephant can attack 3 or 4 lions, no problem. But when you have a big pack coming, he's going to run. So every animal's behavior, they have the cunning. Actually, what Satawa just said, it means smart, knowledgeable. And this is what the serpent was. And he said that he was than any beast of the field, more knowledgeable. And he said to the woman, yeah, God said, means what? He could talk. Right? If you could talk, what does he tell you? Tell me which animal in the world that can talk. Tell me, all animals are on 4 legs. All humming, yes, humming sometimes stands up like that. The orangutan. America called it orangutan. We don't call it orangutan, we call it orangutan. Huh? The gorilla. But the gorilla doesn't talk. Right? You know? And the orangutan doesn't talk, you also show his teeth. You know how you open up, you see all the teeth? That's it. All talking animals are on 2 legs. Are there any animal you can see talk? Anybody? Can we see any animal talk now? A parrot's on the 2 legs. The parrot's on 2 legs and can talk. But the parrot doesn't really talk. It mimics. Morning time, you'll say good night. Every hour of the day is good night. If you hear too often, you say good night. If you hear 2 words, good day, good morning, huh? You go to the kitchen and take a cup of meat in the middle of the night, it says, good morning. Because it just mimics. It doesn't know how to talk. It doesn't know how to carry a conversation. But this serpent, he was able to hold a conversation. Huh? So it's a beast that walks on 2 legs. You know, back then when I first know about this original serpent, the serpent seed, I thought that, wow, it looks like a prehistoric man, you know, big size, maybe because he was as a servant for Adam. That's why my drawing, I draw a little bit hairy. But then I And rather, one day, this brother was in prison, Brother John Dolan. I don't know, I couldn't. He doesn't correspond with me anymore because he was in maximum security and he was actually framed for killing his girlfriend, which was, he wasn't. He didn't do it. You know, but Americans are law and all very corrupt. So he was in jail in maximum security and we correspond, and one day there was no letter from him. I don't know what happened. You know, because there are certain reasons, because every letter that he writes there will have to be scrutinized before it comes out. You know, and even books that are sent to him, he rejected. He has to go to a certain proper channel. After that, the books also cannot be sent. So from all those years, I didn't hear from him. But back in those days, you know, we had good fellowship. And I went to visit him in prison. I went to maximum security, you know, all those metal gates, you know. I went and ministered to him and some believers there in prison. And he said, one day he wrote me a letter. He said, "Brother Gang, I want to tell you a dream that I had. What the Lord showed me." He said, "Oh, I dreamt I was in the forest. And I was walking there and then I saw the creature. A creature so beautiful that in the dream I realized that every zoo in the world, if they could possibly want, possibly could, will get this creature. This creature display him." So Prodigal was so beautiful. His skin was shimmering. Beautiful, handsome looking creature. And he said, "Brother, when I wake up, the Lord told me, that's the serpent." Then I said, "Oh, now I understand." You know, he said his skin was shimmering. 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 You know, you ever watch the, what do you call, Mr. Universe? You know, before that, you know, what do they put on their skin? Oil, right? So they look nice, you know, shimmering. Big, nice, you know. So, but he was saying that this guy was so beautiful, so handsome, so good looking, but he got so shimmering. And I woke up, the Lord said, "That was something. Tall, nice looking. I don't know what way it was the skin and what different from ours and what way, you know." Wow. He said, "Now that I understand." He said, "No wonder. No wonder he fell for him. Tall, dark and handsome." You know, like young girls read their little novels and, you know, all those of, what do you call it? What Disney? Milton Boone's whatever. You know, here come the cowboy with a tall, young, handsome, dark, handsome, singing on the horse, took her and back on the back of the horse and go right into the sunset. That kind of thing, you know. So, I was just thinking, oh yeah, it must be beautiful. That's what the serpent is, brother. Sister, and I realize it's so true, because we know that the serpent must be a big guy, a strong guy, because he was to be a servant. He was a servant to Adam. Hey, brother, God, tell me what the Bible said, he was a servant of Adam. The Bible don't want to tell you everything. If he cannot see what he was created for. Prove to me that he was a servant. I can prove to you, because after the fall came, what happened? What did God say to Adam? Point a tissue now, it's a toy. Because why? His servant is gone. You toy now. Because Adam was to be, well, the Lord and King of the garden. So he don't have to go and toy. Oh, don't you get the servant? Here, Mr. Servant, Mr. Servant, Mr. Servant, right? Dress the garden. I want to do this here, this one, cut this one, trim this now. You know, the garden needs to be trimmed, right? And anyway, before we multiply, there are more serpents. Then they have more work to do, right? So he wants to be the king and the Lord. You see? And if this sin doesn't come in, that's what's going to happen. You will have serpents all over the world. Walking on 2 feet, huh? But now we see religious one. Oh, in the system, yes. So, knowing that the serpent was a creature, and he could talk,
And that's why Satan used the serpent. Now, the question is, why did God do that? Why did he do that? And God said, shut up. Because if you don't do that, you would not be here asking a question. You would not know anything, right? And that is very true. So I sit down and I think about this and I ask him, why? Then I realize I'm asking foolish questions like Job. Being ignorant. God said, open your mind, now stand and I'll show you. Why were you? Do you know the reason behind all this? Now, so because the reason why God gave us this knowledge of all these things in the Bible, that we can become strong. Right? In the faith. Because we don't know what's going to come, huh? We say, oh yeah, the earthquake is going to come in California, we're going to be raptured. Hey, we do not know what's coming yet. There might be something that's going to test everyone us. Is that right? It's going to test us. You know. Because like somebody says, I don't believe that there's a rapture. Why? Why? Look at all those out there in the dark age. How many million of the Christians died for their faith? Then why should it be so easy for us to just up we go? That's why we've got to go through a tribulation and face the Antichrist. Because our faith must be tested. Hear the point? That's all a good point. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Are you ready to face the wrath of the Antichrist? We're not going to face the wrath of God because we don't. The wrath of God is poured upon the wicked. But Antichrist comes. Huh? Even right now, today, even the problem that we have. I told you what happened during Brother Shuren's funeral wake. We have some book put on the table. And it was told to take away. Who was displeased with the book? It was someone from BP Church. And how is it that they want this book to he, the person? The brother told me he was someone. So it's best not to displease people during this week. Who do you think the VP is? They know prophetic revelation. But I'll be a flip and saw my name there. I become target number one from the VP. Yes? Very surprising. They have written theses against me in the past. Misquote my words, misquote Brother Branham and twisted. And I have wrote back to the dean of the Far East Bible College. I wrote it. You see. And then the name of the student who put the name in the thesis paper, I sent it to him. I said, if you want a debate, call me up. I'll have a debate with you. But don't twist my word. Don't twist Brother Abraham's word. This is not what we taught. You know. So what is this? The hatred for truth. They hold the tradition so tight that they don't want to read, they want to see. You know what? That's the worst thing that the person can do. A blind man is blind, cannot read, cannot see. I understand. But there's none so blind as he who refuses to see, to read. All I know that is all false. Not the blindamites out there in many countries. Now they have changed their mind, many of them. After the book they read, Brother Nice charges them, you read it. Because you are hearing from such and such and such a person. Have you ever heard it from Brother Gant's mouth? Have you heard it preached before? Have you read this book? Oh, but we heard it from so and so. You listen to from so and so. What the system will tell you the same thing, right? Now we don't read the pastors in this book, the prophetic revelation with Richard Gant, this Branham, and all these are false. You'll be sorry for following tradition. You will be very sorry one of these days when you stand before the Lord. And you think you make the rapture? By your attitude like this? Oh brother, you're telling me that the Christian don't make a rapture except you people who follow Brother Branham or follow you? I said, no. Many of them will not make the rapture either. Oh, I didn't know that. So you didn't know. make the rapture is he that who make himself ready by the word of God. Not a half a six Christian. Because many go to church, not even born again. That's very, very true. Do you know that? They don't know what it is. They just believe. Because the Bible says believe. You know, but believe means full-hearted reliance upon the person, Jesus Christ. And you follow his commandment. Jesus said, you love me, keep my commandment. Right? Oh, the rich man, Lazarus. I mean, the rich man, not Lazarus. The rich young ruler. Some of us, how do I do get into the kingdom of God? Did you keep the commandment? Yes, I kept the commandment since I was a child all the way up, right? Yes, good. So all you have, and follow me. Oh, rich. So all I have, follow you. What do you mean by follow Christ? That's a disciple. Be a disciple. So all you have, follow close to me as a disciple. Not just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. The devil believe, and he tremble. So let us be careful of our life as a Christian, whether we walk in the path of God's word. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We are always learning, Father. And you have always shown us the truth, Lord. Unfold the word to us, making sense of the scriptures. We are thankful, Father, that you have given us your spirit and teaching us, guiding us in the pathway of the light of life and eating of the tree of life as well. Let our life fully, O Lord, be worthy of the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ in the very gospel that is given to us in his blood. Bless us, Father, as we walk in thy word. May our heart, O Lord, always be open up to receiving and hearing of your word, Father. That there has always be a thirst for your word and a thirst for righteousness. In this world that we're living in now, Father, the condition is bad. We notice the signs of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For as long as we are on this earth, Father, feed us. Stir within us, O Lord, a deeper love for you and greater walk with you from day to day, Father. We thank you. We thank you for that precious word. Bless even though that thing that we have learned and keep on relearning, Father, and keep on getting more and more understanding from your Holy Scripture by thy Spirit given to us, Lord. We thank you. Bless now, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.